Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Und zuerst muss ich wirklich mich bedanken, dass mit meiner guten Freundin, in Chinesen sagen, dass wir wirklich alte Freund, wirklich die ganze Zeit, die letzten die Jahre, dass ich mit Hans Elmwood zusammen in Freiburg gelebt habe, das ist viel mehr Erinnerungen, viel schöner Erinnerungen. Ich habe immer gesagt, dass Freiburg, meine Freiburger Zeit ist sicher meine beste Zeit in meinem ganzen Leben. Ich finde, deswegen würde ich immer zurückkommen und dann, da bleibe ich. Vielleicht in Zukunft komme ich oft. Ja, ich meine, das Wetter, das badische Wein, alles, das Wasser, der Torte, das ist ziemlich sehr gut. Aber zurück. Ich habe Phänomenologie in Freiburg gelernt. Da ich habe über 4,5 Jahre über Husserl, Heidegger, die Weg sehr ziemlich gelernt. Aber heute mache ich nicht besonders über Heidegger und Husserl. Ich glaube, in den Phänomenologischen Freiburg es gibt viele Vorträge darüber gemacht. Und da mache ich eine besondere Sache, dass wie von Hans Hamburg gesagt habe, hat es von über Fotografie. Aber auch nicht über den Friedhof. Friedhof und der Fotograf oder die von der Flugzeug fotografieren. Aber ich möchte gerne zu erklären, die heutige, die chinesische Übersetzung von Fotografie ist etwas falsch. Ich möchte auch darüber hinaus, möchte die Phänomenologie und auch warum der phänomenologische Sehen ist etwas wie der fotografische Sehen. Es ist eine wichtige Sache, wie Fotografie und Phänomenologie zusammenkommen kann. Entschuldigen Sie bitte, dass ich heute kann ich auch nicht auf Deutsch zu sprechen und kann mich wieder in Englisch. I'm sorry that I have not really to brush up my German in my last 30 years. I spoke fairly to German in Hong Kong, but I hope that maybe my German come back soon. But I'm trying to tell you, of course. And first of all, I try to tell you that all the photographs in this are my work, other than that I stated otherwise. At first, I'd like to try to tell you about the kind of things that in Hong Kong and Chinese the people think about photography. So this Chen Chan, is a very famous photographer in Hong Kong. And he's become also the very very known so-called internationally in this so-called saloon photography. And he said now just a bit kind of 100 years old in Hong Kong, he's still living and still making a lot of photographs. But he also emphasized that the kind of photography he makes is what to try to infuse Chinese aesthetics principle into photography. So he's a kind of so-called design, the saloon philosophy of photography. It's a so-called pictorialism, it's photography. What he wants to do is want to make photos like Chinese painting. Look at his work. This is all his work in the photograph. And make like he's wanted to show it as if it's a Chinese painting. And of course, you can look at Chinese painting. That's called, it is, it's not photography, it's painting. And like this, it's also painting. So what Chen is looking, is want to try to imitate the Chinese painting with his photography. And this is also his work, saying that Wangshan is a very famous mountain range in Zhejiang, province, and very many, many people go there to make photographs and painting. And actually, when you look at this Wang San, the photography, when that is what he also tried to do it in photography, you look at there, well, this is Chinese painting. Indeed, another important photographer in the maybe the last century is Wang Lang, is one of the most important first Chinese photographer. He also trying to infuse Chinese painting in photography. It's one of his very also famous photograph. You should look at the photograph as if it is a painting. This is, for example, is a Wang Bingcong. It's also an important contemporary Chinese painter, and who's also paint Huang San. And we know about in the Qing Dynasty, the Xi Tu is one of the most famous Chinese painters who also paint like Huang San. And of course, it's Zhang Daxian. He paint this his painting. Now you look at all this. Look at the pictures, and they think that the important thing is how to make photography look nice painting. For some like this one, is one of the most recent ones that is in the Hong Kong, the so-called salon photographer who think they not get a prize. They look at this is a photography and not painting. So of course the problem is photography a genre of painting? When you look at one of the important persons that I already mentioned that earlier is Lang. Lang is a very important photographer in China, and he's a pioneer photographer in history of art in China. Lang stated some experiment in the 1920s until his idea come to the maturity in the late 1930s. He advocated a type of creative photography that mingled with the principle of Chinese traditional painting. His major achievement was his method of composite photography. That's to try to make photography and like painting. So when you look at his painting, for example, his photography, it looked like painting. It's interesting, not very much Chinese painting. It's also from his work. And of course, when you compare with the previous Chinese painter, we will see that it's also just Cao Ying. Cao Ying is a Ming Dynasty, Chinese, very famous Chinese painter, who paints like beautifully. And Zhi Leng thinks what he's doing is trying, is this kind of a purpose, is to make photography like Chinese painting. His one that in this book, he said, quote him, our nations are always promote culture and arts, he wrote in 1941. Before Chinese painting and music have developed earliest in the world, and this ancient artistic principle are still sufficient to be the model of today. My photography is overall based on Chinese painting. Lang later repeated this proclamation that the composite photography and emulated in the principle of Chinese painting, and it's precisely the emulation that distinguishes photography from the commonplace practice of conventional painting and montage. He said that his composite photography, informed by Chinese painting, strive for a picture that recreates my subjective impression. It has to be to have depth, plain focus. He implied that montage in the West was merely a sort of technique, whereas his composite photography was real art. And of course, it's what he's trying to state, and this kind of attitude and theory was endorsed by a lot of the Chinese photographer. But of course, I'm going to disagree with him. But in the later 21st century, a few years after Lang's death, one man, Pao Kun, in the mainland wrote a well-known piece announcing the bankruptcy of Lang's pictorialism. Besides championing photography's inherent mission to engage with political action, Bao's main issue was with Lang lying in the concept of emulation, that is, copy, mufang. The Chinese word of mufang was also translated as copy, imitation, mimicry. I use emulation here for the sake of convenience, and we'll tackle the linguistic issue later. Lonnie did Powell deem that Lang's imitative work betrayed photography medium speciality, which Powell held as documentary and instantaneous. But he also have probably frustrated with the culture imitation of Lang promoted and helped institutionalize. Many contemporary Chinese photographers blindly imitate and worship Lang's style, and the field became dominated by the effete, cowardly, and insulated aestheticism. On the other hand, Powell contrasts Lang's composite photography with the art of Jerry Usman, and held that Lang's inferiority lies precisely in that he was content with mufang and did not step into a creation. He failed, of course, he failed to deconstruct, subvert the ancient Chinese literary tradition and create new meaning. That's what I'm trying to argue is that from this demand is that what Lang, also later our famous photographer in Hong Kong, they would think that photography is Chinese painting, and the best way to illustrate this is how to make photography like Chinese painting. And I think it's true, it's totally wrong, because it's not photography and painting from two different, from the same angle. So when, of course, and another important theorist of the photography is this Liu. And in fact, he wrote, I think he wrote the first theoretical work on photography in the 1927. He wrote like that. It is also his work. He also based on this, he thinks something like that, he said that. And he in his work, he said that photography, Zhao San, can be divided into two primary categories. The first category is that which copies the subject. The second is the which records the subject but does not merely copy it. Considering the first category, one must consider the term copy in a way that is alive and not dead to this connotation. For instance, to render precisely and without the slightest date changes the page of ancient calligraphy or famous painting is to copy it. If one photographs an ancient relics or artifacts clearly and without distortion, one is copying it. The most important aim is copying is clarity. Thus the term to render accuracy is most apt to use in reference to this category. Then should the kind of photography that does not merely copy be termed unrealistic or unreal? You won't want to make this claim. I can respond. For my meaning may be summed up to the term expressive. Expressive says that refer to the photographer using the camera as a vehicle to reveal its inner world of emotion, the yijing. Huh? When we look at this kind of photograph, we often do not care what the photograph photographs. Rather, based upon our affective response, we experience the photograph's inner emotional world. That's what he said about this, and also he continued to say that. And when I consider photography, this thing, no matter if one aspect it as an art or review as nothing more than a dog fart, as we are already doing. Thus, always we should not forget that there is a self involved with it. And even more so, we should not forget that we are Chinese. Every day we may hold up reverently called as monthly or the British annual or the American annual or even the small, the devils, Liu is referring to Japanese annals, and consider that as originator of the craft reflexes and therefore in this or that way imitate them, modeling ourselves after them until our hair turns white and our piles of photographs pass large chunks. Is this that a good thing? However, in my view, such an approach doesn't lead to anything. We need to use the camera to express fully our own personalized and the distinctive sentiment and refinement of the Chinese people. This is done to characterizing the particular Chinese kind of emotion and feeling, thus enabling my artwork to establish their own kind of character different from that of other countries. Only that will our efforts not have been wasted, and we will not have given uselessly money to Kodak and Alpha. Of course, when look at the kind of photography that been introduced in China 2 centuries ago, in the mid 19th centuries, the people that is saying all the foreign things coming in. So there's a kind of a rejection. They're saying that different thing, well, it's good, but we have to do it in our Chinese way. Just therefore, come this kind of all this argument. But however, he knew as a paragraph at the end of his book, many people believe that photography imitates painting. The truth is a big mistake. At least I, for one, am unwilling to advocate such a thing. Just because painting is painting, and photography is photography. Although the two share some similarity, each has its own special quality and in reality cannot imitate the other. If one were to say that the aim of photography is to imitate painting, it would be better just to study painting. Now I think he's come to the correct point to say that what the previous one, Lang and Chen, saying that Chinese painting should be kind of the principle of photography. Of course, it's wrong, because they misunderstood. They don't understand the two different things, what is photography and what painting is. And at least this man, this Liu, understand the two different things. But up till now, we have to think about what is photography by all means. So I'm starting to give my own interpretation of photography, is that there are several questions that I would like to ask. If photography is a copy or mirror of reality, I think nowadays everybody is a photographer. Because if everybody got a cell phone, then I think we make pictures every day, hundreds, sometimes dozens, to take pictures of what before our good meals, and to have this that event. Everyone is a photographer. But of course we understand that 150 years ago, before the invention of our camera, it's unheard of. It's very difficult, really, to copy so-called the reality, so-called the thing that I see. So I thought to ask this, is photography a copy, a mirror of reality? Is photography and painting are the same things? What's the ontological difference between the two? What's a photograph? What is photographing as an act? What's photographic seeing? What's the nature of seeing a photograph? It's that deviation between photography and phenomenology. Now look at some interesting pictures. Of course, this is one of the very important people called Henri Cartier-Bresson. And he's also said that about the so-called the instantaneous moment, the decisive moment, the what he claimed about the photography. My passion has never been for photography itself, but for possibility, by forgetting yourself, and that's important, of capturing in a fraction of a second the emotion of the subject and the beauty of time. There's a natural geometry of what we see. I don't have a message. I'm not trying to prove anything. You see, you feel and a surprised eye response. So definitely, Cartier-Bresson told that one of the important thing about photography is photography can freeze a moment in time of so-called reality into certain composition. Like this one, that of course we know this, Paris, and of course this one, and he said about photography is for me of a spontaneous response coming from an ever attentive eye, which captures the moment and the eternity. Photography is an immediate reaction to a meditation. So photography is a kind of immediate reaction to something that a photographer feel and look and see the world it is. So example, he's one of also very famous of his pictures about on China and during the revolution, is saying that, and he always stress on the culture of decisive moment, and to capture the kind of feelings, the kinds of appearance within that. This is his. Now, come and see some of my photos. This is what I took in the last year. You see that the composition is really, well, the man, and this is in Los Angeles beach. We come and this is from Vatican, and some priests going into the night, going out of the Vatican, St. Peter's Cathedral. This is a high contrast, and that is from a man from I think it's from the Museum of Modern Art in New York. This Lucian Freud exhibition, and it comes kind of the composition and the light, and showing that about the lines of this. Of course, coming down it, when I took it in Austin, that I'm doing my one of my conference. It's in Beijing. So, coming back to some of my things. Yes. So what is a photograph? What is photography? Of course, we know that one of the inventor of the photography in the 19th century is Fox Talbot. It's called the pencil of nature. And he always said that the term photography is now so well known. It may suffice then to say that the plates of this work have been obtained by the mere action of light upon sensitive paper. They have been formed or depicted by optical and chemical means alone. And without the aid of anyone acquainted with the art of drawing, it's needless, therefore, to say that they differ in all aspects and as widely as possible in the origin from plates of the ordinary kind, which own their existence to the united skill of the artist and engraver. So the etymology of the photography is definitely simple, from photons and from light, and graphons to writing, delineation, or painting. Therefore, Talbot say that photography is a kind of drawing with light. But I'm asking, who is drawing this? Who is going to draw this with light? It is only a kind of analogy. So when I look at the kind of the photography and photograph, it's only in the mid of the 19th century that the John Herschel appears to have coined the term photograph and photography and established them in the academic and general vernacular, where they remain relatively unaltered since. Photograph, the word indicated the product of photography, share the same etymology. The word photograph composed against other container before its acceptance, including heliograph, photogene, and sun print. It was Sir Herschel's lecture on photography to the Royal Society in London in March of 1939 that appears to solidify the use of the term. Now, come back to the title of my lecture. I say that the lecture is the phenomenology of sun. But what is coming to China? The coin of the term photograph and photography in Chinese got Jiao San, saying, this is the most common thing. And then they did it because during the mid 19th century, already in 1854, then the camera, when this man, Lu Xun, said that the camera points to the sun and forms an image. We don't need any pen, and the image is permanent. So this is a kind of saying that they fascinating all the Chinese people when they first met the Westerner carrying camera in China. So we say that in the middle of the 19th century, the Chinese already know photography. And of course, in the 1976, then they published an article on photography, Introduction to the Right Working of the New Technology. It started with a statement that photography, Jiao San, was invented by the West and not found in China. Therefore, the portrait it takes are quite like real, showing people expression and only the difference as little as hair could be caught. It's magical. So that in a way, the Chinese are so fascinating about the coming of photography in China from the West. So all the things about during this time, and saying that about the fascination of camera and the photos are all expressed in this way. So that one again, talking about the camera, I think is not that important. But coming back to the original, to the Chinese understanding of the photography, 摄影 is the most common Chinese term of photography currently used in the Chinese world today, whether in mainland China, Taiwan, or in Hong Kong. But when you look at the term 摄影, the ying, that's in the red line, the literally speaking is to capture and store the shadow. And now another word called 照相, 照 is kind of mirroring. Used in the last century together with the term 摄影, become less popular later, usually mean to mirror the phenomenon. But look at, then come back to the one of the most important thing, the term about, the word about 摄. In a certain sense, 摄, the 摄, is a one of the most wonderful mean a term to capturing the meaning of photography. Because when I said photons, graphon, the light and drawing. But light and drawing in a certain sense is who is drawing with light. But with the 摄, the 摄, the term that in the sense of, is to capture, introduce, and to hold is the Chinese meaning of 摄. That is, therefore, in a certain sense, when our most very important Chinese, contemporary Chinese philosopher who translated the Kant's transcendental aesthetics, he used this 摄 as a kind of important term for that. So about this, how about 相? 相 is something that, of course, I use as a solid thing. But 相 is something is the object, the phenomena. And 相 is something that everything a general characteristic and the external appearance, and also that all, in the sense that all phenomenon, all experience can be called 相. So in a way, appearance of things and events manifested outside, but imagined in the heart, all are 相. Therefore, it's one of the most important terms in the Buddhism. Then when I use this term, then I try to find out what are exactly, if you use the term 摄像 in Chinese, the definition of photography. And a tentative definition of 摄像 is that the transformation of reality by capturing and storing the set of the four dimensionality of the phenomena as absolute givenness through the manipulation of technical instrument with light into a two-dimensional frame of picture and frame. Now it's a kind of working definition of photography. It's saying that whatever the camera and all these things, in actual fact, that we are capturing the four-dimensional time and space, four-dimensionality, into a two-dimensional paper or image. So this of course, is being done by a mechanical or a technological device, this camera. But the thing, but the interesting thing is that they all start at this phenomena as an absolute given. Then, of course, they come to the interesting thing about the phenomenology. It's because we start from what is given. Look at some of my pictures. When look at these pictures, of course, there are people that is in Sydney many years ago, and there's in Kyoto. And also in Kyoto, when you go to the very beautiful the museum in the Miho. It's in New York, in the Kennedy Center, the Opera House. And that is done in the late 2004, the Umbrella Movement in Hong Kong. So, come back. So what is photography? And we say that the motto of phenomenology is to the self, that is back to the thing themselves. So I'm arguing that all photographs begin with the absolute givenness of thing in reality. However, the reality of photographs does not have the same reality or the givenness of things. That means to say that photography is a kind of transformed reality. And as such, is no longer a claim of the mirror of reality. We always believe that photography shows a kind of evidence of a reality, but I'm going to say that this is not the case. It's a transformed reality. It changed something like that. So a photographer, the photograph is a transformed reality through the photographic act. What appears on the photograph is a representation of the phenomena. Other people believe that with my cell phone, we capture the image and it represents something that is already a past experience, a reality. But we forget that whenever we took the pictures, we do not really picture everything, but a decisive kind of decision, what to take and how to take, important. So when I talk about it's always a puzzle to ask what exactly a photograph is, how it's different from other images like painting, drawing, engraving, or sculpture. It's furthermore interesting to ask what the difference between the photographic act, the process of making or taking the photograph, and another creative act in painting or drawings. To be sure, photography was a technological invention which first appeared only in 1939. Since then, photography has been developing exponentially from a highly technical craft to a most common activities. Only a few people know how to draw or paint, even fewer to master the art, but nearly everybody is capable to take photos. Sometimes even good and artistic photo pictures by randomly taking many photos through a digital camera without understanding any theory or skill of photography. When Fox Talbot, one of the founders of photography, coined photography as the pencil of nature drawing by light, photography was a serious business which involved knowledge of light, chemistry, and technology. Talbot would be amazed to know contemporary photography does not require any knowledge of photography. The photographic recording of the reality, like communication through all cell phone or internet, is taken for granted as part of our everyday life. However, what photography can do is much more intricate than merely capturing any experience and event. The ability to freeze time and space of an object in a frame and to represent it in an image is beyond common experience. No other artistic capacity can achieve this end. Let's see one example to illustrate this. Look at this is a picture. This is an impossible picture, because of course we know that this man is just jumping from the cliff, but they stay there as if he is something hanging in the air. Of course, it's not the case. This is an impossible posture. This man can certainly not stay at this pose without falling down into the water. The photographic image can only be made in extremely short and transitory moment of time. Looking at this photo, we can see the instantaneous of the falling down movement of the man. We nevertheless know he must have fallen into the water subsequently. The photo was taken in the past, but this impossible posture is represented in the present as a photographic image, and we intend the falling in the future mode. In other words, the photographic image does not only refer to the past object or event that was taken, but also the temporal structure that folds itself readily when it's seen. Therefore, when you look at a picture, of course, like the back to this one, it's a past event. It's a two-dimensional picture. But we know that when I took it, it's a four-dimensionality, the time, the space, and also the falling of the man. But my camera is capable to freeze it in a thousandth second to capture this man in this picture. But it will become two-dimensional. But we all know that this is impossible, because we have a kind of intention that this man is falling down. Therefore, we say, even though it's a still photograph, we have also this temporal dimension in this photograph, as if it's not just a two-dimensional still that is a stable one, but see what kind of temporal intention exactly is what in Husserl's and Heidegger, that's what Husserl this kind of internal time consciousness, can say, but I'm not going to talk about this. So then, look at this. Then I come to back to distinguish this three things. So reality of a photograph is that I'm trying to say that the difference between the mirror image, a painting, this is my dear granddaughter's, this is my photograph, the three things. So what they are, this three things always saying that just poses it together, they are all the same. Then look at like one by one. So what is a photograph? Mirror image. A mirror image, of course, it's a plain mirror, it's a reflected duplication of an object that appears almost identical. It's easy. Everyone gets a mirror. But when you look at mirror, what is it? In fact, a mirror image is not a reality. When I ask you, does the mirror image truly exist? How does it exist? Of course, this picture, this painting, it's when the measure is a kind of surrealism thing. Then he looked at the mirror, but actually does not look himself, but look at it back. In fact, when we look this picture, when I say that this is a mirror image, it's wrong. It's on the photograph or the mirror image. Because mirror image is a particular kind of ontology. They look at the mirror image is exactly we like so-called in Buddhism the concept of Hong, which is sunyata. Who is someone like that? They are simply saying that is that when you look at the mirror, when you look at it, you're asking, does the mirror image exist? Yes and no. Because inside the mirror image, who is it? The mirror image is not the face, it's not myself, but only something that reflected on me just because it exists, because I'm in front of it. So when I kind of this mirror image is exactly the kind of no substance, because there is no substantial thing inside the mirror. When you look at mirror image as if there's something inside, it's wrong, nothing inside. We cannot find something inside. It's a reflection of the outside, but does not exist. That is the reality of the mirror image. So like the image in the mirror, it's not the mirror and not the surface of the mirror. It's also not the man holding the mirror. It's from the Buddhist text. So the image in mirror, this being is the being. This non-being is the non-being. That is to say that we cannot assign any being or non-being status to a mirror image. The mirror image In fact, it only exists when I look into the mirror. We cannot hold any mirror image at all. Whenever we look at the mirror, you just look at it. When I look away, the mirror image go away. We cannot keep the mirror image at all. So the keep mirror image has no substance in this sense. So this is from the Jinjang Jing, that in the Buddhist text, it said, the Buddha said, all appearances are illusory. To see the appearance are not appearance is to see the tatakaha. So you say that just I look at this mirror image as something that here we are. This is not real at all. Therefore, the mirror image does not exist. It has no substance, no independent existence. Its being and non-being depends on only if someone, something is situated in front of it and be seen by a spectator. It's a passivity in nature and cannot be kept hold on inside the mirror. The mirror mirrors the world in thousand ways in this here and now, and there's also corresponding mirror image appear in thousand ways here and now. Every mirror image only appears here and now before someone seen. I look at the mirror. Anytime the mirror image reflected my image, but it's not me, it's not my image. Because you know that everyone, when we look out at our mirror, the left become right, the right become left. We can never see ourselves to our eyes. We cannot see ourselves. The only thing I see myself is through a mirror, but the mirror is not you. It's a kind of a transformed reality. We don't believe that the mirror is a really a kind of image of ourself. It's not. It's something changed. This the mirror. So what's the painting? Of course, everyone will understand the painting. The painting is not Da Vinci's Mona Lisa. Of course, painting is a picture, appearing thing. But we look at other thing. Because people are thinking that, like what previously when I said about pictorialism, they try to say that the painting is can be the a governing principle of photography. So when someone used Van Gogh, that is one, using the Van Gogh self-portrait to become a photograph, it's an imitation of a photograph. No, sorry. This photograph is an imitation of a painting, not vice versa. Previously, we say that photographs should be also paint is a imitating painting. But this, in this case, always does the reverse. An awkward look at this famous picture by Lucian Freud. Of course, we know that this fat woman that caused Julian Freud a big fortune. He got one of the most expensive the picture sold in auction. Look at this picture. Look at this picture. This is photograph. This is a painting. Is there any difference? Perhaps if it's a photograph and a painting, the difference between Lucian Freud's painting and the portrait photograph of Sicily does not lie into the what, that is the subject matter, but rather in the how they are produced. The painting and photograph are independently made. That's one thing that then I come to a very important argument that my distinction ontologically between the photograph and painting is that the painter paints with his hand on his canvas. He created pictures of his creativity and imagination in disregarding the existence of subject matter. A world is created. So to a certain extent, every painter is God, the creator. I can paint Kongzi, the Confucius, together with Socrates, even though they never meet. But I can put these two persons together in a picture. Or maybe I create something like the Salvador Dali, the kind of surrealistic kind of painting that nowhere can be seen in the world. So the painter itself is a creator. We create a world through our painting. Before the painting appears, nothing. So the painter creates something in as a new item of the world. But they're different from photography. The photographer sees the world as it is given and frames it. According to the viewfinder, the camera to capture the world and store it into its photo. A world is transformed and represented. They say that all photography begins with the absolute givenness of the thing in front of him. Look at also this painting. Of course, it's a very important painting by David about the death of Socrates. Of course, it's a painting. Even though how realistic it is, we know that it's a painting cannot be the historical record, because we know that Plato, presumably, definitely Plato was not there, and Plato was much older than Socrates, dying man. So this painting, we don't believe it's a kind of historical record, but we believe it's a kind of he wants to give us a kind of meaning of the death of Socrates. So when I look at this, I can come to a several argument or saying that the kind of distinction between a photograph and then a painting. Is that painting is active, it's creative. What the painting is drawing with the hands. But with photograph is other than is a passive and not active. The activity lies not in the only in creating the object, but by representing, but how to representing the object phenomena into this two dimensionality of frames. So important is that the how is more important than in the painting. So they come to the kind of, as I say, that is a what the phenomenological part of photography is that
the important thing is how to see things and to see. Photography is the most important thing is eye, seeing. In painting, it's painting the hand. So the eye is important.
So then look at some of my photos. It's also one of the photos that my friend wrote an article on. This is kind of, so this is a painting, this is a photo photograph. It's a self-portrait photograph. But inside this, these are two-dimensional. But look at it. Look at this face. This something. This actually outside, and I look inside. So they create a kind of illusion that this photograph had depth, not just inside but outside. So the kind of is also represent kind of four-dimensional space, social dimension. And then when I look at this, I also see myself in the photograph, and at the same time see myself at the end, as if there is a small window at the end. I see myself. So that this is a kind of self-portrait that I try to look at it. So in like this also. When I say that it's in the London, that I say that this is a case that I, in fact, in the beginning I'd like to give a talk on self-portrait photography, but I think this and I dropped this thing because I think that this the whole thing is more interesting than just focus on self-portrait. But in fact, in this photograph, when I say it's a self-portrait, I want to argue that I can photograph myself also in the photographing act in this way. So then come back to the argument. So the photograph is more than a picture of an external object, but a cultural object that is historical constituted. As such, it requires an eidetic analysis. The photographic image does not belong to the natural world. It's a product of human labor, a cultural object whose being, in the phenomenological sense of the term, cannot be dissociated precisely from its historical meaning and from the necessary datable project in which it originated. The cluster problem now includes not only the photograph as a piece of paper on which an image is inscribed, but the photographic activities, the interaction between the photographer, the photographic act, the camera, the production of the photograph, and the photograph itself. So the photographic image on the photograph, however, is always a presence whenever it is re-presented. This is a fair gigantic letter. With the original things of human beings, so photograph exists or not in the present. It's not no longer a person. But Bath, there's a woolen Bath. No writing or printing can give the certainty of photograph. As they say, photography never lies, or rather, it can lie as to the meaning of the thing, being by nature tendentious, never as to existence. Every photograph is a certificate of presence. That is to say that every photograph is a historical witness of something. But this historical witness, this historical record, just gone immediately after this reality is being taken by the camera. It's gone. So, however, the historic existence of photograph image is only the ontological ground of the photograph. The significance of the existence cannot be shown. The presence of photographic reference to be seen and to be interpreted. To be sure, what you want to see in any photograph is not the mere existence of the thing, but the message for the image, with which, as photographic reference, points beyond itself on the paper to a distinct past, yet represented itself in the present seeing. John Berger comments on this phenomenon. A photograph arrests the flow of time in which the event photograph once existed. All photographs are on the past, yet in them an instant of the past is arrested so that unlike a lived life past, it can never lead to the present. Every photograph presents us with two messages, a message concerning the event photograph and another concerning a sort of discontinuity. Indeed, the photograph is a record of particular adumbration of the world in which time and space were taken as an ontological frame. In the event of photography, this aspect of the world in which a certain event or person is, or anything is presented is framed with a certain actual space and by actual frame fragment of time. Hence, a membrane
A photographic piece serves a moment of the world in time and space. But between the time, between the moment recorded and the moment of seeing the photograph, there's an abyss where the time and the space so recorded is continuity. The fundamental difference between the image in memory and the photograph is, according to John Berger, that whereas remember image are residue of continuous experience, a photograph isolated the appearance at a disconnected instant. When we see any photograph, we know it's about the past event, a certain what has been, the where, when, why, and how it was taken is, however, beyond the bare fact. The message of the photograph is to be seen and to be understood. So some of my photographs, I think it's then, as it, when we look at this photograph, of course, what does it mean? So of course, when we know that the photograph, it actually is kind of hermeneutical understanding. We know that I took it in the Lincoln Memorial in Washington. So of course, I think that, of course, I'm not staging this. In particular, this is the Lincoln sculpture. In other words, there's two black people, and then in the foreground, there's the white woman sitting in them. So I make it a kind of how to contour the juxtaposition that these figures, Lincoln, people, white people together, and it's a telling sort of message. Whether this message is true or not, doesn't matter. There's this white woman looking at Lincoln, and the liberation of the black is an important message from Lincoln. Or look at another one. I took this a year, 2 years after the June 4th Tiananmen massacre in 1991. It's interesting one is that when I look at this picture, then in the middle there's the lady standing. Of course, some people say that of course it's not the grandmother. We have to see the face, but in fact, not seeing the face is more interesting than seeing the face because we look at the people around her, and we know that Chairman Mao is looking at her in this Tiananmen Square. This is tell a story, tell a message. But whether we agree with this message, it doesn't matter. You look at something interesting to look at what it is, how it is composed, and is there any message to this? For example, I took it the street of Bangkok, and in fact, I think my wife asked me to take these pictures because they kind of a relation between this so-called beggar lying and looking at this lady inside the glass, and then so this whether we have any message to this, perhaps, or. When William Bassett, when looking at the picture, this picture is just burning something, but of course, the sticking out of a feet is a so-called punctum. I realized that this is a kind of picture that is being seen that the burning of the body of the in the power. Or this picture when I took in Hong Kong is the final teardown of the so-called Carlton Wall City. A man looking at perhaps his home, this combination, and this the photos that I took in Hyde Park, and look at this very interesting that like the Manet's picture. This. And this is a 20th anniversary of the virtue in Hong Kong. It's 2009, exactly the 20 years after the 1989, the Tiananmen massacre thing. There's all the light. In Spain, Madrid. So the one that saw this is exactly the framing of the photograph is this kind of the important, most important photographic act. The passivity is that because every photography begins with the absolute given in front of him. The reality, the world is given. We cannot do otherwise. But what is the activity? What creativity lies in extending how to make things in front of the photographer make kind of relationship, kind of meaning, whether it's by the by the lighting, by contrast, by color, or by the position of the people inside the thing. Like this kind is Chicago, in Chicago, the art museum, this kind of picture, within the picture, between picture. Or in Barcelona, there's a man, there's a woman looking at this pictures. Or the kind of Venice, the drawing, that kind of a curve, a movement, or in fact, it's also like in this Copenhagen, the museum of looking at the lighting and then the going in, or the man, the shadow. And Hangzhou. One of the things, looking at the picture, it says it's a kind of the question: What are these people looking at? And this kind of mystery, this kind of unanswered question that make pictures interesting is doing that. Not to say everything, but ask you to do that. For example, this is one is in Shanghai in 1997. But look at Shanghai in different, rather similar pose. It's 2006. To say nothing. Of course, then the 2006, many people, and especially the Motorola advertisement, just looking at it, the inside, and this kind of very surrealistic kind of photos. The high contrast. Hong Kong, Taipei. There's in the last out, there's a discussion of the argument between the monks and within that in Tibet. The first street in Hong Kong many years ago. Another one. And between that, it's also the demonstration of saying that the word inside the democracy in the cage. There's New York, and this is the Emperor building. Also, it's interesting that the photo is a man I admire a lot, because when I look at this picture, he's crafting something, and I also do the seal crafting, and I know with my hands, so it's very not easy. But when I look at this, he's crafting with his head, not with his hands, but the legs. When he has no legs when he was born, so he has no legs. So he uses his legs, told and then to craft. So I think this very, very uneasy, very, very difficult to do that.